Tango Tango Papa 2034, April 25th, 2019.
Have we seen the actual reality of a monstrous crime? Or merely an illusion, the product of a tortured brain?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Wiles here with you, coming to you this evening, or it's actually this afternoon. Well, it's this evening. It's 6:32 p.m. Central Time. It's 5:32 p.m. Mountain Time where I'm at, coming to you from just east of Boise, Idaho. I believe they like to pronounce it Boise, instead of Boise. Most people would look at that, B-O-I-S-E, and they pronounce it Boise with a kind of a Z sound. But the people from Idaho like to pronounce it Boise with more of an S sound. So anyway, that's where I'm at. I've, since the last podcast, I actually ended up going home after only about 2 weeks. Because I had a dental cleaning appointment that I already had previously. I'd had it already set up, and I had, you know, it had kind of a long lead time to get it, and so I didn't want to miss it, and so I went ahead also and scheduled a physical, just kind of a, you know, so-called wellness checkup that my insurance company ended up paying for. The Blue Cross and Blue Shield paid for that in its entirety. But I, you know, I've had so many people kind of tell me after I went on this low-carb diet, oh my God, you're going to mess up your cholesterol. It's going to be out of control, and blah, 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 blah. And so I wanted to check. And so I set up a, you know, so when I went home and I, so the one day, the day before the dental appointment, I, I was able to find a general practitioner that was accepting new patients. And so I was able to set up that appointment kind of early in the morning. They told me, don't eat anything after midnight. When you come in for that appointment, don't eat anything after midnight. So I complied. That was very easy to comply with. I didn't eat anything. I think I ate at like 6 o'clock in the evening or whatever, and then I was in there at like 8:30, 8:45 the next morning, and I wasn't even hungry by then. So plenty of lead time, not a problem for me, going that long without eating and not even really noticing it. That's one of the great things about this low-carb way of eating. Because I don't even really consider myself to be on a diet. I've eliminated certain foods, namely bread, pasta, potatoes, and rice, and all candies, cookies, cakes, snacks, those kinds, sugary drinks of any kind, fruit, all of those sorts of things are pretty sugary, and or they turn into sugar. So I've eliminated all those things, and I'm eating pretty much as I want of what's remaining. So eating lots of meat. Fatty things like eggs, lots of vegetables, lots of salad, things like, you know, everything that remains except, you know, the things I just mentioned, that I just, those have been eliminated from what I eat. They're not on my, they're no longer on, a possible menu plan. And the, weird thing is that I, even as much as I used to like pasta and I was eating it practically every day for a long time, I don't even really miss it. Now, one of the things that I have done, quick aside, is that the last couple of times that I've been home, the thing that I liked about pasta the most really was not the pasta per se, but I especially liked the tomato, like a tomato meat sauce. And so I've made tomato meat sauce, in this case I'm using lots of meat. Major amount of hamburger, and then basically a spaghetti sauce, and then cheese, and over that, and I find that quite tasty, and I don't really miss the pasta. And apparently not interfering with even the pasta sauce has probably got some carbohydrates in it, but it's not enough to really interfere with my diet, with my weight loss, which actually is kind of continuing. It seemed to plateau at about 20 pounds, but when I was home this last time for these two doctor's appointments, because the next day after that I went to see the GP for the physical. Then the next day I got my teeth cleaned. My weight now seems to have dropped about a pound, and it was 24 point something, and then one day it was 23 point something. So it seems to be hanging right around 164. So that may or may not continue, and it really doesn't matter. It's like I've said over and over again, I really don't care if I lose another pound at 165 pounds, 164 pounds. I am happy. From a BMI standpoint, body mass index standpoint, I am in the so-called normal range. Whereas, at 20 pounds over that, at 185, 5'10", 185 pounds, I was overweight. And if you go back to the early 2000s, when I was still working at that eye clinic, I was obese. I was at 225, at 5'10", 225. That's obese. So I've gone, more recently, I've gone from the 185 down, to the last time I measured it before I left, it was 160, about 164. And so, that's down in the normal range, and I'm happy with that. So, in any case, I, went to see the doctor, and he'd, did the stuff that they do with the physical, and then of course they also as part of that they drew blood, and so they drew a quantity of blood and then they send that off, and so in the meantime they emailed me a secure web page the results, so there's all these different things that they test, that they do as part of the standard blood test. And so I got the results that I was able to look at, and the doctor himself, the various sections, there's about three or four different sections, and the doctor said they were either okay or good. And so individually I can look at the individual numbers, and things like cholesterol are all fine. Triglycerides, which I believe those are the most dangerous kind of fat that you can have in your blood. My triglyceride level is actually on the extremely low side compared to what, because they give you kind of a normal range. So, at one section he did say I was a little bit dehydrated, but of course that, that particular morning I hadn't drank very much, and then I hadn't eaten at all that morning, I probably drank at least a glass of something, or tea or something, But he said I was a little bit dehydrated, but you know, that's just one of those things. Sometimes you are dehydrated and other times I'm not. So that's a really sort of a thing that's quite changeable. But otherwise, cholesterol, everything was fine. And so I'm happy with it. And I kind of suspected that everything would be, but it's kind of nice. On the other hand, it's kind of nice they actually measure it and I actually know. And so I, you know, if anybody tells me, oh, you're going to kill yourself with that low-carbohydrate diet, sorry, I know what the numbers are, and it's not. That's not true. You know, now at that point, when at least when they took the blood, my glucose level was 85. So, and that's what they actually measured, and that's really decent. So, for a fasting glucose level, that's really like super decent. Because my younger brother that actually has type 2 diabetes or was diagnosed with it, he said he had a fasting glucose level of 135, which that's actually quite high for a, you know, having fasted, you know, when, and they, you know, and I don't know what his doctor, if he told him to, you know, not eat anything, you know, like at midnight, don't eat anything after midnight, and then you come into your appointment, and then we'll do a blood test, you know, and then that's where you get the fasting glucose, so-called fasting glucose level. So you have to fast maybe, you know, and it's going to depend on the doctor, but 8 hours or whatever or more. Then, so 135, that's a telltale sign that someone's got type 2 diabetes. If they have a high, you know, that's one of the symptoms, you know. So, you know, if you have a high fasting glucose level, then their chances are there may be a problem, and then they can do further tests. So everything looks good as far as that goes. So, like I say, I went ahead and took four full days off, and then I came back to work. And so I've been back at work for about a week now. And so I'll probably make up for only having stayed two, you know, the last time normally I would stay out 3 to 3.5 weeks or so. So I'll probably stay out a little bit longer this time before I go back home. So it'll probably be, I don't know, probably, I would say later in the month of May. I haven't exactly decided yet when I'll go home next time. But probably, you know, maybe like the third week in May. I really haven't decided at this point. Because I like to go home towards the end of the beginning of the month. That seems to work better. So, let's see. What else has been going on? My car, made the last payment on it earlier this month. You know, of course, I had financed it originally. I went ahead and financed it for 4 years. You know, I bought it 2 years ago. I financed it for four. Because it, you know, you might as well, just in case something would happen and you have a lower payment, you know, worst case scenario. But from the very first, I decided I was going to, you know, just pay for the thing as fast as I could, which I pretty much did. So I, you know, it made the last payment earlier this month, so it's that's out of the way. So happy about that. So otherwise, you know, things are just kind of going along about, you know, the same, you know, just same old, which I like. I like living a life. I like having an existence with no drama. That's really the best kind of thing to have possible, I believe. So, I've got some files that Joel sent me via Voxer that I'm going to go through and probably do a start-stop on. So, I guess we'll just go ahead and jump right on into that. So, here is Joel.
Hey, Tom.
Joel McLaughlin here.
I'm just eating some lunch here, and I'm having a discussion of a friend of mine. He is one of those pharmacy technicians that work in pharmacies in a retail establishment, and he's also one of those people that are completely against things like the self-service checkouts and stuff like that. So, and I don't know if he posted the Walmart story or some other story, but what am I talking about here? What I'm talking about here is automation. You know, certain things probably won't ever be possible to automate. For example, I don't know if truck driving will ever be automated. It might be. You know, they're trying to do that. I don't know. Certain things, like, for example, getting a meal at McDonald's, probably will be. In fact, I actually see a future where the typical fast food places, all of them, every one of them, will probably be automated. There might be one or two people there working on the machines, but the food is all going to be cooked and not touched by human hands and prepared properly to your specifications and plopped onto a plate or tray that you can just pick up from the robot at the counter. And the only people that will actually be there other than the people eating are going to be the people fixing it. And places that you typically go to that are sit down place where you have wait staff and all that, will become the highest end restaurants. And those ones will not be as cheap as they kind of are. Some of them are today. Like, for example, some of the restaurants you get to, like, oh, Charlie's is fairly reasonable. But like, I went to Outback and, the three of us ate. We each ordered a meal and shared an appetizer, and it was $80. You know, sometimes even when you go to a fast food place, it costs $30. All right. And the reason that it's going to be that way is because labor costs. You got people like Bernie Sanders pushing for $15 an hour for a fast food worker. All right. And companies like McDonald's, they're not going to, especially since a lot of McDonald's owners are actually small. See, this is a lot of people don't really realize this, with exception of the very few franchises that have expanded beyond their one location. A lot of McDonald's and a lot of fast food places, especially if they're a standalone one and not in like a travel stop or something like that, they are actually small businesses, believe it or not. A lot of people really don't think about that. That's true. And when I was a kid, granted, this was, you know, over 30 years ago. We lived in Athens, Ohio, and our McDonald's was a franchise, a single owner franchise. And we met the owner, and it was, even though he had the backing of the McDonald's Corporation, he was a small business owner. So, you know, a lot of people really don't think about that. But anyway, you push and push and push the salaries up of these workers. And it's also more than just the money you give them. It's also thanks to the ACA, the required health insurance and other things that you have to pay for. So if you can reduce all that, plus have that worker not ever get tired, not ever need a break, not ever get sick, unless something breaks, of course, then you're going to do it. You just are. That's a fact. No business, no government owes you anything. That's the way I operate. You know, the only thing they owe me is the money that's going to take to keep me there. I could have stayed where I was probably pretty easily, which was a college, but I was offered more money, so I left. You know, so that, and that's the thing, you know, it's just so many people just don't get that, especially the leftists, you know, like in like Bernie Sanders and socialism. You know, and then there's the guys like Andrew Yang, who's running for president, who wants EBI, where basically everyone gets $1,000 check from the government. Well, where's the government get your money? Get the money to pay that with? You know, it's not workable. You know, and it's just crazy. And but if you want to be a success, if you want to keep on living how you are today, you have to keep reinventing yourself. You did that, you know, you went to work at that optometrist place, hopefully to get off of the truck, and then you discovered you didn't like it, so you went back to driving the truck. Now, fortunately for you, at some point, you're going to be able to retire, right? But the days of going to work for the same company for 30, 40 years is over. You can't go with a high school diploma and get a job at a factory anymore, not the United States anyway. So, I mean, a good example of this automation in a retail establishment is I go to Sam's Club, and my Sam's Club happens to offer the what they call scan and go. So some of the Walmarts are starting to do this too. So as you're walking around, you just scan the barcode with the food, you know, for your food, as you put it on the cart or on the flatbed if you're getting bigger items at Sam's, since, you know, Sam's Club has those. And then on the phone, I pay for it on the phone. Up pops a QR code. The security person, if you want to call them that, at the door will then scan the barcode and make sure I have the right amount of products or the right amount of things in my cart, and not anything extra. And then they say, "All right, you know, I walk out. I don't have to wait in line. I don't have to do anything. You know, should I get paid for that?" No, I'm willing to do things for myself. See, if you're willing to do things for yourself and learn how to fix things and stuff like that, you're going to survive. And if you're not, you're not. If you're looking to the government to fix your sad situation, and I know you're not, but if a person is, you know, they're the ones that are going to be let down. They're the ones that are going to be hurt. Somebody told me that was a bougie way to think about it. I'm like, it's not bougie. It's the truth. You know, and it's just the way I was raised too. So, I mean, I was raised to not depend on anyone, you know, or if I depend on someone, work on a way to figure out how I don't have to depend on someone, learn things. I desire to be a lifelong learner. I got this thing going in the background here. You can probably hear a little bit. Printing a lithophane, which is essentially a negative I don't know if it's negative, but basically it's a picture that you 3D print and then you backlight it, and it looks like a black and white photo. It actually looks pretty neat, actually. So, but anyway, but the 3D printer is driving my desire to make things for myself and to do things for myself. I just bought it's actually a cabinet. The way this one was designed is a cabinet and a desktop and two supports that screw into the desktop. And the other end just sits on the cabinet and essentially, I guess, makes a desk of sorts. I'm using it more as a workspace for my office here. And I got another desk coming via mail. But I'm trying to, when I'm putting stuff in the desk, as I've been working on clearing some of my older desk, because it's going to be replaced by a sit stand, and putting the stuff I have in its one drawer into the four or five drawers I got on this new cabinet. I'm designing little plastic holders that I'm going to print that I stick in there to hold pens and stuff like that to keep me organized. I could just go someplace and buy them, but I'm going to print them for pennies versus going to the store and buying them. So a lot of people think, well, isn't that a lot of extra work? I'm like, it is, but I don't actually want, once it's designed, I can just reprint it again and again and again. It's my way of saving my labor costs. So anyway, thanks for doing what you do, Tom. I do find your podcasts enjoyable. I do wish they were more frequent, but that's okay. I don't care. I'd rather people do them when they want to, and not feel like they're obligated to do that, because I feel like I'm obligated to do my job, you know. And so that's something that, you know, podcasts, I don't care. Do it when you want. Talk to you later, dude. Bye.
Okay. Well, thank you, Joel. So my, you talked about Walmart and Sam's Club. The Walmarts in Northwest Arkansas, Walmart, since that's so close to, you know, it's right in Bentonville is where the headquarters is. And so the stores around Northwest Arkansas, Walmart uses those stores to experiment with. And so we've had the scan and go thing and variations of it for a long time. And I think, you know, now I've noticed that what they're doing at this point, they still have some, you know, the regular aisles. And you may have, depending, you may have one or two or three people manning those aisles depending on the time of the day and how busy the stores are. But then at each entrance, and like my store is a pretty good sized store, the one that I go to all the time has two entrances. One on the, you know, the grocery side, and one on the other side of the store, you know, on the front of it. And then, well, actually, it has three entrances, because then there's also an entrance at the far end where the garden center is. So there's actually three entrances. So, but, you know, at least in the regular front part of the store, where the two entrances are, in the regular part of the store, they've got this kind of a square area set up with probably eight scanners, self-service scanners, sort of set up in a kind of like a square. And then they've got, you know, then this is on each end where they might normally have the, you know, 20 items or less thing that and I think they still have maybe one or two of those. But and then they've got at least one person manning the scan and go area, just sort of watching things. But what has happened over time, because this isn't a new idea, I've done the self-checkout thing before, and a lot of time, for a long time, I would go ahead and just stand in line and wait for the regular checker to check me out. But what has happened lately, and I don't know what happened, and it may just be because everybody else kind of did the same thing, my attitude towards the self-scan thing kind of changed. And so as long as I don't have too many items, I will just go ahead and go to the scan and go thing, that area. And, you know, and what's happening now is that oftentimes most of those are being used, especially if the store is very busy. A lot of those are being actually utilized by people. People are starting to use those things. And I really kind of don't mind doing it. You know, and then if I end up having some kind of a problem, something won't scan or what have you, then I can... you know, there's a person right there that I can, you know, kind of get their attention, and then they can come resolve whatever the issue is. So, but most of the time it's simply, you know, it works. You know, I found personally I was more likely to have a problem initially, because it, you know, there's a little bit of a learning curve. You think, oh, it's easy to scan items or whatever, but you do it a little while and you become a lot more graceful at it. And so, you know, I'm getting, you know, I've gotten a little bit more graceful at it. And but especially if I just got two or three items and I don't even have a cart, it's easy just to go to that scan and go and start scanning, and put the items in the bag and, pay for the thing with a debit card and off on my way. So that's gotten to be more, especially at Walmart, that's getting to, people seem to be accepting it, at least in Northwest Arkansas. That's kind of an accepted thing now. So I'm sure it varies from one area to the next, of the country, how acceptable something like that is to the local population. But I do think that is something that, whether people like it or not, some people don't like it. There's still checkers. If you want to wait in line, there are still checkers. They're not forcing you to do it. At least at this point, you still have a choice. It's up to you. If you want to wait in line for the checker, have at it. But otherwise, there's the scan and go. But I think that, that's a case where is Walmart saving money on the wages? Probably they are. On the other hand, they do have to have more equipment. So there is more equipment cost because they've got to have the specialized equipment, all these scanners. So you've got to have that, and that has to have specialized software, etc., etc. But it also is more convenient for a lot of people. I have to admit it is more convenient for me. If I've only got a handful of items and I want to, I'm ready to go and I just want to, pay for it and get out of the store, then it's the scan and go is faster typically than standing in line waiting for, and invariably you stand in line, you pick a line and you're standing in it. And then there's some, something goes wrong and they've got to check a price or, you've been there, what I'm talking about. That's happened to all of us. We seem to pick the wrong line. pick the line that has the problem. It's kind of amazing how that works, but, and statistically it probably isn't that way, but it seems that way anyway. So, it is more convenient for the customer, overall. And you got a choice still. So now if I had a giant cart full of stuff, where it was just almost overflowing, I'm probably going to I'm going to wait in line. For the checker, I'm going to wait in a regular line and then, because they're going to be much faster at that than I would. But, if I just can't imagine, taking a heaping cart full of groceries or whatever and, trying to scan it myself. That would take forever. Or it'd take me forever to do that. And besides that, those little scanning stations are kind of small. They're not really set up for, the checker's got the rotary thing where they put the stuff in the bag and then rotate it around so that you can grab it and put it in the cart. And that's a more efficient setup for if you've got a lot of items. Just go to the checker. So a lot of this, kind of depends on, is it more convenient for the customer? And I'd say the scan and go at Walmart, yes, it is. So, now a lot of the fast food joints have they've installed the things up in the front where, it's like the vertically oriented touch screens where you can go ahead and order and pay for the stuff right there. And you don't have to wait for a person behind the counter to take your order. You can just do it yourself. I think I've seen somebody actually use one of those once. So I don't know if those are actually being utilized or not. And of course, now lately, I've not eaten since I've been on this diet. There's only been a time, at least one, maybe once or twice, that I've been forced to eat in a fast food joint like that. And so I'm not really paying attention to those at this point. But if it ever gets to the point where it's just, you know, it's a machine that's kind of, you know, sort of like a robot making your robotic hamburger or whatever, there's really not a whole lot of difference between that and a vending machine. You know, and would you eat out of a, you know, if you have a choice of eating out of a vending machine versus a more sophisticated vending machine, which one are you going to do? I don't know. It depends if, you know, if you want to be cheap, or it depends on what you're eating. Like with me, for example, I'm now tending to go to actual restaurants because I want what I want. And I don't, you know, I know you can order burgers and what have you without the buns if you, you know, like at most, all of the fast food joints, you know, McDonald's or Burger King, you just tell them you want the thing without the bun and they'll give it to you. But without the bun, they're happy to do that. But those things are, I mean, they because, they're, you know, they really cremate the burgers. They're trying to eliminate any possibility that there's food poisoning, you know, kind of a foodborne poisoning potential. So they basically cremate it, the burgers, so they're horrible. So I would, at this point, I'm going to regular restaurants generally, or, you know, in a pinch, I'll eat a salad, you know, like a chicken salad or whatever at a Subway. Or, which, of course, there's no bun, or even hot dogs. At a, you know, every convenience store worth its salt has hot dogs, and those will work in a pinch as well, of course, without the bun. So is this going to take over? It's possible that we're going to see more automation, you know, but it's going to have to, it has to have the automation in order to be used by the public has to be more convenient. And I'm not convinced that that has actually happened so far in places like McDonald's, where they have those vertically oriented touchscreens out in front of the regular counter. And most of them have it now. You know, I think that must have been mandated by McDonald's. Most of them that I see have those now, and or you know, that I've noticed, and nobody's using them. So I don't think it is more convenient. A lot of restaurants, you know, they've got an app. Oh, we have an app, including places like Denny's. Order on our app. Well, I don't think, how many people are actually doing that? Probably, maybe a few might, but probably not many. You know, it's got to be convenient. There has to be a convenience factor for the customer in order, you know, at least, you know, where it meets it, you know, there has to be some extra convenience factor for the automation to be accepted, my opinion. You know, otherwise it's just, they're wasting their money experimenting on it, and it's not, you know, it's not doing them any good, and it's not doing the customers any good. So, but, you know, automation is just one of those things that happens. And the thing that it actually does is it improves productivity. And anytime you can, you know, my stance on that is anytime you can improve productivity, it's a good thing. You know, the more you can improve productivity, the better. Because it sort of raises the standard of goods and services for everyone concerned, if you can raise the productivity. So, but, you know, it's kind of an interesting thing. I, you know, and I'm not a big fast food fan at this point. as I, you know, I really like being on this low carb way of eating. I'm really enjoying it, and it has, you know, even if I was thinking today, you know, I didn't do this because I wanted to lose weight. I did this primarily, you know, I found out that my younger brother, 5.5 years younger than I am, was diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. That's what caused me to start watching all the YouTube videos about diabetes, type 2 diabetes. That quickly caused me to run smack dab into the idea of low carb, you know, ketogenic type diet to reverse, eliminate the possibility of and or actually reverse type 2 diabetes, which it does, and it can, and it will in most cases. Not all, but most are severely make it severely better. But so that was the impetus for me to just say, hey, I'm going to just cut these carbohydrates out. And as a result, I lost my acid reflux that I'd had since I was a kid. I noticed improvements in my joints. I also noticed, you know, improvements in the dry skin areas that I had for the past few years on the heels of my feet. You know, the sort of an allergic reaction to dry skin. All of that is markedly improved. Hasn't quite gone away, but it's markedly improved. So, and by the way, I lost about 21 pounds so far. You know, but that's not why I did it, and that's not why I'm sticking with it. If I never lose another pound, doesn't matter. I'm sticking with it. And I don't feel that I'm missing anything. I'm not losing out on anything. You know, it's not, you know, sometimes people will describe, you know, their thing of eating, especially like desserts, as it's, oh, it's heavenly, or, it, you know, they're on cloud nine when they take the bite of their, whatever their favorite pie is or whatever, or their ice cream. And that's kind of strange, really, if you think about it. You eat something, it can taste good. Today I had, for lunch earlier this morning, I had so-called flat iron steak and eggs, and that steak was superb. It was like an 8-ounce steak. It was a fairly small steak, cooked medium the way I like it, but the thing was just, it was superb. It was a great steak. It was one of the best ones I've ever had. It was amazing. It tasted great. But it didn't send me over the moon. You know, it didn't, cause me to, order a second one or a third one. I it's like if there was a whole plate full of them, I probably might have eaten two of them, but I wouldn't have been able to eat the whole plate, or, you know, like some people will eat the whole pie or the whole half gallon of ice cream or whatever, or the whole bag of potato chips. So, Joel's got a second comment. So, once again, here is Joel.
Hey, Tom, this is Joel. Hopefully you can hear this. I'm listening to a downloaded YouTube stream in the background as I driving back from IKEA, and today's the day they released the redacted version of the Mueller report, and it just there's so many especially the leftists who don't really seem to get it that they grasp onto that one part of the report that says that the report doesn't exonerate Trump, and I'm like, how come there's no indictment then? It may not exonerate Trump, but they really don't have anything.
he said probably said a bunch of things that, you know, like for example, if you're having a informal conversation at work, and you might say, well, we should do this, and it sounds really bad, but then either you walk it back or you say it, and the way you say it, you're joking, and that's some of the stuff. And I'm probably gonna flip through it at least. I'm sure it's really long, but
well, let me go ahead and interrupt. So that Mueller report, I haven't even read it. I have no interest in reading it. I really haven't. I've heard people say what Trump said. Trump said this or Trump said that. I really don't care at this point. It's like I've said for the last couple of years. He could be an axe murderer, and I don't care as long as he is doing. I think he's doing a good job as president, and I think he really is. And so and just imagine, because they were spying on him. How did they get all of these conversations, that appear to be in there? Just imagine that it was you, or I can imagine that it was me. And, what do I say in private? Even if I'm by myself here in the truck, I end up talking sometimes to myself. It may be in, traffic, or I may be mumbling to myself. Now, just imagine that someone was tapping in. They had a microphone on you 24/7. And you were, they caught every little time you mumbled to yourself or every conversation that you had with this person or that person. Or let's say you had an argument with a relative or a friend, and they transcribed all of it. There was a transcript of it. Have you ever said anything that you thought you realized later that it was just utterly stupid and you shouldn't have said it? I have. Plenty of times. Now, can you imagine, here's Donald Trump, and they're trying to find anything at all that they can. So at this point, they're trying to embarrass him. And they made a big deal about, he said that his presidency was ruined or whatever. I don't care what he said. I would have probably said the same thing were I in his shoes. Sure I would, or probably something worse. I can just imagine what I would say. So I think it's, there's no point in even, kind of reading through it. And now it's been a few days and the news has kind of died down, and it's, I think the tables are turning at this point. And I still believe in it, some people still don't believe, but I still believe that eventually, there's going to be a lot of people that participated in this thing, and it was basically a coup. They spied, they spied on a presidential candidate and then made this story up out of whole cloth to try to abort his presidency. Just completely made up, fabricated out of thin air. I believe that a lot of these people, big names, are going to eventually go to jail. Maybe even Obama. What do you think about that? I think there's a good possibility that it'll happen. Hillary may go to jail, and certainly that a lot of the people around her. A lot of people in the State Department, in these so-called deep state, CIA, FBI leadership. They need to go to jail. They need to face justice, and then, justice gets dispensed, and then they go to jail. Or whatever. We can't just let this go. And I don't believe that it will be let go. But the justice moves extremely slowly. A lot of people want things to just happen right away. And it hasn't. It doesn't happen right away. It doesn't have to happen instantly. But I believe that it is going to happen, and there's going to be a lot of these people that face justice finally. So, but otherwise, I like to just turn this stuff off. I don't want to hear it. Don't want to. You know, I go back to what I've said before. I go back to what I've said before over and over again. You know, take it to a personal level. If you have a friend or especially a relative that is toxic, that likes to make up lies and you know, just is emotional and acts stupid and try, you know, whatever they do to get their way, and they're just completely irrational. Do you get am I going to get involved in every little nuance, every little thing that they do, every little bit of drama? No, I'm not going to have a damn thing to do with them. I may go years without even if they live in the same area, I'll go years without seeing them. And I've got a cousin that way, and it's been years since I even saw him. You know, and he just lives in the same county. Not that many miles away. I don't care to see him because he's kind of an idiot and he's a drama queen. He never grew up. And he makes the people around him miserable. So extend that to the news media. They're toxic. They're liars. You know, stop paying attention to them. At this point, Donald Trump has proven that he survives this stuff. And he actually thrives on it. He seems to thrive on it. And they make bigger and bigger fools of themselves. So, my suggestion is shut it off. Now, what I've done, one of the things I did do, and I've talked about it before, there was this app that I was subscribed to on the phone called Texture. It was a magazine app, you know, it was like supposedly like Netflix for magazines or whatever, and then I found out Apple bought it, and then I was under the impression that Apple was going to kill the Android version, so I went ahead and unsubscribed from that. I unsubscribed from Audible, which is owned by Amazon. I unsubscribed because I just kind of got tired of it again, kind of keeping up with the monthly audiobooks. So I just kind of, you know, made sure that I used my credits that I had and by utilizing those, and then I unsubscribed. But what I did do while I was home this last time, I bought an Amazon Kindle Paperwhite. You know, there's this model called Paperwhite. And I bought it at Best Buy. It sells for, I think, around $129 or something like that as the price. So I bought one of those, and then I subscribed to Amazon. It's called Amazon Unlimited. And it's for the Kindle, and so the idea is that you get a number of different magazines. They're not all the same magazines that Texture has, but you get a number of different magazines, as well as all kinds of books. And some of the books are actually quite good. I've already read one called Split Second. It's a science fiction book, science fiction, kind of based on a time travel theme. Now I'm reading, there's a sequel to it written by the same author that I'm partway through. I'm reading now. And I'm really enjoying the Kindle Paperwhite experience. It's, because it's not the same thing. It is a tablet, of course, but it's, a much better reading experience. It's a, you know, that you can do it for hours on end, and it's much easier on the eyes than reading from a conventional, like a phone screen or a conventional tablet or even a computer screen, because they're so bright. This is more like, much more like just looking at paper, and you can see, of course, you can see it in direct sunlight as well. So I'm really, really enjoying that. And so I'm reading that, you know, basically I'm reading the, you know, either these magazines or the books, in place of things, you know, like looking at news sites or what have you, or wasting my time going through things like Facebook, which now I rarely look at. So that is one alternative. That is an alternative way to, you know, if you've got a need to, for new information, or, you know, or just be entertained, either read a magazine on a Kindle or books on a Kindle, you know, the Kindle Paperwhite. That's an option. It's a very viable option. It works just as well, actually better, than all those stupid apps on the phone. It's a much more pleasant experience than Facebook ever was.
It just, you know, no matter what happens, these folks aren't going to stop grasping at straws. You know, they're like, you know, like there's the one statement they said in the, that's in the report, that where he said that this in you know, they took the one statement and ran with it, but then they didn't look at, but the rest of it was saying that it's going to ruin his presidency because he won't be able to do anything because he's going to be so occupied with the stupid investigation, which is true. The last 2 years it's been nothing but that. Now unfortunately for us, he's done a ton since then. You know, my favorite is say, well, he hadn't done anything. I'm like, really? I'm really enjoying my tax reduction that I had. You know, this is the first year since I've been a homeowner where I didn't have to do any itemized deductions, because the standard deduction was more than enough. It you know, if you looked at my housing interest and all the other little things that you can deduct, you know, my donations, which I won't stop doing because of this, but this is the first year where all that stuff added up to less than the standard deduction for us. That's the way it worked. And then my favorite other ones, they're getting lower refunds. Well, it's because you didn't pay as much taxes throughout the year, because they changed it right away. You know, so I mean, that's fantastic, and the economy is great. You know, so I don't understand these leftists at all. It just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. They keep grasping at every little bit of the report. I really don't want to, but I halfway kind of want to watch a. Rachel Maddow, just because I know she's probably going to cry about, you know, whatever. But I'm not going to give her the ratings. I'm not going to do that. But I know you probably turned off a lot of it. But I just think it's, you know, it's 2 years later and they still can't grasp the fact that Hillary lost. Not to mention that she should have been in jail anyway. In my company, if I had set up a mail server at home and used it for work, for contacting my clients, I'd be fired. But Hillary Clinton did that, and she's okay with that. You know, and that's one thing. It's actually in the report where Hillary, you know, the report said, at least that's what they announced it. Like I said, I'm going to go read for myself, but, the report said right in the report that Hillary had said Hillary's email server had been hacked. All right. Well, if it was set up by our government, would it have been hacked? I don't know. But, you know, it's just asinine stuff. And, you know, and it's just, you know, further and further. You know, and Trump's supposedly the one that's dividing us. Trump's the one that's dividing us, right? Okay, sure, whatever. Anyway, I need to pay attention to driving. I'm now off the interstate, so I need to pay more attention. I'm doing more turns. Bye.
Okay, well, thank you again, Joel. The conclusion that I've come to, and I've said this before many times, these people have lost their minds. It's mostly the leftists, but some on the right as well. There's some in the Republican Party. They've lost their minds. And losing your mind isn't something to take lightly. Getting angry isn't something to take lightly. You know, becoming overly emotional, throwing yourself into your emotions is dangerous. Anytime you do that, it's dangerous. I don't care, even if it's at a funeral and you're sad because whoever it was died, and so you throw yourself into those emotions, that is a terrible mistake. It's dangerous. Very, very dangerous. Emotions are dangerous. And so these people they've gone off the deep end. And for many of them, there's probably no return. And they've fallen into a bottomless pit. And so therefore, their behavior is going to get worse and worse and worse. It's just going to continue to escalate. And I know this is going to happen. So I am not surprised by it when it does happen. I know it's going to happen. I know the principle involved, you know, how it works. They've gone off the deep end. So what's the point in even paying attention or becoming agitated over it? There isn't any. Now, another thing that I had been thinking about that I, you know, that kind of popped into my mind was about, you know, when I was talking earlier, was the topic of privacy. You know, people, you know, there's this term, you know, the idea that we have the right to privacy. Now, I kind of understood what, you know, people meant by right to privacy, but what did that really mean? And I was thinking about this, and it kind of, you know, a kind of a deeper understanding sort of popped into my head. And why do I need privacy? Well, I need privacy because if, let's say, you know, and it could be, you know, let's say it's my finances, perfectly innocent. But it's my finances, and let's say that I tell the wrong person about my, you know, what I do with my finances. You know, and then they, you know, they chide me up and down because, well, you're not doing it. You're not doing it the right way. You're not, you could be saving money or, you know, blah, 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 blah. You should be doing this. You should be doing that. And then they begin to pressure. And so that's why you need privacy. That's why, you know, we need privacy, because otherwise the temptation for all of us, because we all have a tendency to do this, is when we find out information about another person, there's a giant temptation to use that information to kind of browbeat them or to manipulate them with it. And so that's, you know, the idea of having a right to privacy is so that we don't end up kind of manipulating each other. It keeps us kind of, you know, part, you know, at least most of our lives sort of compartmentalized, so that the people around us aren't constantly tempted to manipulate us. And so that's really what it's about. I don't think a lot of people understand what, you know, what the right to privacy really means. And, you know, as I say, quite frankly, I didn't really understand it either, but it's the right to, you know, it's actually a good setup because it prevents us from, you know, being tempted to manipulate each other. And being pressured by the people around us. And that brings up another little kind of a related point, temptation, being tempted. And I was thinking about that today. You know, we actually deliberately tempt ourselves. You know, I do that. Every time I go to the Best Buy store, I'm kind of putting myself in a temptation space. Or anytime I go to, you know, someone goes shopping, or they open up the Amazon app and they're just kind of browsing around. You know, you're putting yourself in a temptation space. You know, so we kind of voluntarily tempt ourselves, especially. We do tempt each other, but we tempt ourselves too. And I don't think we really think much about that. We don't think a lot about that. But there, you know, there is an element, you know, kind of in the wrong side of our ego oftentimes that wants to be tempted. And so that's what shopping is all about, or eating the wrong foods, same kind of thing, you know, thinking about the ice cream and then, oh, I can't resist it, or thinking about the pie, oh, I can't resist it, I gotta have it, gotta have it, or whatever food it is, you know, because it's not just shopping items. Food's probably one of the biggest things that we use, sort of in a wrong way. Because we have to have a certain amount of food to eat, but, you know, we shouldn't be, we end up abusing it, turning it into something that it should never be, turning it into a giant distraction. You know, use it as a temptation, sort of a temptation lever to kind of make ourselves worse. So, anyhow, I think I'm going to go ahead and cut this off. So thank you, Joel, for the comments. I hope everyone is having a great week, and I will catch you later.
Remember, Trucker Tom is like Visa. He's everywhere you want to be.
Product reviews, restaurant reviews, photos, opinions, and more. Visit Trucker Tom's website at www.truckerphoto.com. You've been listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. All you have to do is send us an email to tom@truckerphoto.com.